Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now, I am not reintroducing the idea of purgatory. But on the other hand, I do believe the baby was thrown out with the bathwater. With that came a belief, when you die, you're instantaneously and magically made perfect.
The soul of someone who dies immediately goes into eternity. There is no place where you make up for your sins. There is no purgatory. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. It is Witness Wednesday. I am at Georgia Tech. Today, I am so pumped about this. I've been looking forward to this so much because there was an article that I stumbled across written by Mary Eberstadt from the Hoover Institution at Stanford University. And the title of it is Pornography the New Tobacco? And she goes about making the case that back in the 50s, an individual would say tobacco, smoking, fine. Pornography, terrible. Today, just the opposite. Pornography, fine. Smoking, very bad. And with that, the ad campaign of, well, I would suggest mostly liberal people in going against the supposed moral evil of smoking has done a masterful job of bringing down smoking in this country. 50% of Americans used to smoke. Do you believe that? 50%. In 1950. It's down to 20% now. Why? Because it's bad to smoke. And in the meantime, back then, pornography, yeah, Playboy was out there, I think, back then, but it was something filthy and dirty. These days, as we've heard on the campuses before, not a problem. Pornography, hey, it's a private act, no worries. So today what we'd like to do is challenge people to have them think through which is the most morally evil thing. Is it pornography? Is it smoking? Is it abortion? Is it hooking up? Which, by the way, if you're not familiar with the term, it's like one night stand taken to a whole new level. You don't know the person. You don't even talk to the person. You just hook up and then be on your way. Wow. I got to tell you something. That's a conscience that has got to be pretty seared if that doesn't trouble you the morning after. We are going to try to challenge them to come up with the list, the order of morality. So let's see if we can maybe get to their conscience a little bit and help them understand a moral order. And that maybe while smoking, not saying it's a sin, I've always just said it's stupid. Can we get them to admit that abortion is worse? Can we get them to admit that pornography is worse? Can we get them to admit that hooking up is worse? We'll see. All right. I am at my favorite fishing hole, and there's a guy sitting here eating a big, it's a Mexican thing. And I'll see if he'll answer my question for me. Hey, sir, could I ask you a quick question while you're eating your, oh, it's a potato, is what it is. All right, I'll let you swallow. I'm going to ask you a question. By the way, dude, you need some sunblock. You're getting baked.
Really?
Yeah, you're looking a little red. Or do you always look that way?
No, maybe I do.
No, you're looking like you got a little sun.
Well, maybe I should go inside then.
All right. Well, maybe sunblock.
Maybe that.
All right. Here's my question for you. I would like to have you answer for me which you think is the worst thing. I'm going to give you a couple of options, and you tell me which one you think is worse. All right?
All right.
All right, here we go. Is smoking worse or watching pornography worse? Which one?
I think smoking is worse.
Smoking is worse. All right, let's try another one.
Depends on what your consideration of bad is, but
well, bad, not good. Morally wrong.
Well, morally, I think watching pornography. But if it comes to like health, then I guess smoking is a lot worse.
Okay, all right. So, if you, in your life, in your personal life, which one would you like to do the least? Smoke or watch pornography?
Smoke.
Really? All right. How's about smoking versus abortion?
Smoke.
Smoking is worse than abortion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the term hooking up? Do you know what that is?
I guess so.
Yeah. That's apparently what college students do these days a lot. They just meet a complete stranger, intimate with one another, and then go their separate ways. Kind of a one-night stand sort of deal.
Yeah. Right?
Which one do you think is morally worse, smoking or hooking up?
Smoking.
Smoking again.
Oh, hang on. Morally? Yeah, I think they're... So from a moral point of view, I think they're both, like, not, like, not wrong.
They're not. Neither one is bad in this case.
Moral. All
right. Yeah. So if you had to decide, okay, you've either got to hook up or smoke a cigarette.
Then I'd rather hook up.
You'd rather hook up. All right, dude. Hey, put some sunblock on. I mean it.
Yeah, well.
All right, you're getting baked. It's getting a little toasty out here. Okay, I am going to, right now, walk over to a quiet place, sit down, kind of squatting style, put my thumb in my mouth, and cry. Smoking is worse than abortion. Oh, we've come a long way, baby. I'm sorry. This is just terribly depressing to me. Let's try another pollster. This is George Barna reporting from Georgia Tech. Excuse me. Hey, I know you're busy studying, so I'll make this very quick. I want to ask you a question on the radio, if that's okay.
Okay.
All right? I want to ask, you're studying. Yeeks. What is this?
Computer architecture.
Yeeks. Looks horrible to me. I don't understand any of this. You've got a different type of brain than I do. I would like to ask you a philosophical, moral question, okay? Mm-hmm. Which do you think is morally worse, smoking or viewing pornography? Which one do you think is worse?
Well, honestly, I think viewing pornography would be morally worse. Because morally, the idea of reproduction or even doing sex as anything more than, say, a form of entertainment. I mean, for anybody else, sex is something more than just entertainment. It's something more serious. There are more serious connotations to it.
All right.
Smoking is probably something you would do, which would be bad for you on a personal level. It may be bad for you around you. But I do not really think it affects somebody's moral character as such.
Interesting. What about the difference between smoking and abortion? Which do you think is morally worse?
Again, I think I would say abortion is probably morally worse.
Right. Now, may I ask you, you were pretty clear in your decision-making. What informed those decisions?
I guess it's a lot to do with my upbringing and the ideals that were instilled in me when I grew up. And
what ideals are those?
I guess I believe that it's wrong to kill a human being.
But are the religious morals, where did you, just family values, where did you get those?
Family values in the society I live in. It's more that than religion as such, it's more the society I lived in.
Are you a religious person?
I don't know.
You don't? You were doing so well before. What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know how you would define a religious person.
Somebody who believes in a deity and maybe has some values that surround that?
Yes, then I am.
A follower of a divine being?
Yes.
What are you, may I ask?
I'm a Hindu.
Tell me what it means to be a Hindu. Convert me to Hinduism. I'd love to learn.
Well, I really would not do a propaganda.
I'm asking you. I want you to convert me.
Because I would probably call myself an agnostic more than anything else.
So you're a backslidden Hindu.
Yeah, you could call it that.
Okay. How many gods are there in Hinduism?
A crore.
I'm sorry?
A million?
A million?
Yeah.
I've heard like 300 million.
No, a million.
A million.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot of gods.
Yes.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
What do those gods do? Do they have power?
I don't believe. I guess my beliefs are sort of different from the traditional Hindu beliefs as such. I just believe that there is a supreme being. It doesn't matter what you call him by name. It could be one of those 1 million gods, or it could be any other religion following any other deity as such.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that there is some supreme being who, at some level, controls what goes around in this world.
Okay. Let me challenge that, okay?
Okay.
This is who I think God is. Mm-hmm. I think God is Ravi Shankar. And if I listen to his third CD 8 times right before I die, I'm going to spend eternity eating curry with Ravi Shankar. Uh-huh. That's what I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. Am I wrong?
I wouldn't say that.
Come on!
In the sense that I wouldn't say that God isn't Ravi Shankar. I would say God is the music that he plays.
What? Explain that to me.
Yeah, because what is a supreme being? It's somebody who makes you attain a different level It's something from where you're able to get out of yourself and go into something else, something more at a more elevated plane, something more divine.
But how do you know it's the music? Because that elevates.
Yeah.
Okay, but then shouldn't you say to me that I'm wrong? Ravi Shankar is not God?
Ravi Shankar is not God, that's what I said.
So I'm wrong?
Yes. In that
there sense, you go, that's good.
Yeah.
So it does matter what you believe.
Okay, I didn't get that question.
Well, you originally said it just doesn't matter what you believe. As long as you have a faith, as long as you believe in something, it can be any of the million gods as long as you believe it. I said, well, I think God is Ravi Shankar. Clearly, I'm wrong. So it does matter what you believe.
No, I guess what I would say is that it doesn't matter what you believe, because you may believe it is Ravi Shankar who is God,
yeah,
but it is probably not the person himself, but what he does and what is...
So I'd be wrong.
The thing is, you would... In your
oh, please call me wrong. Just tell me I'm wrong. Please.
No.
Come on.
No.
Not only will I not get mad, I will rejoice. I will do a little Ravi Shankar dance in front of you. If you just say, sir, you're wrong. Ravi Shankar is not God. Come on. You can do it. It is so liberating. You have no idea how good it is. Try it.
No.
Oh, will you sit tight for a minute? I've got to take a break deal. And I'll come back and I want to challenge you on something else, okay? Keep studying. You've got 3 minutes to get your homework done. All righty? It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, there's no shortage of voices telling women how to handle anxiety, how to navigate relationships, how to find their identity. Honestly, most of it sounds pretty good until you realize it's just self-help slapped with Bible verses. That's not the same thing as biblical wisdom. And that's why we at Fortis Institute present to you The Better Way with Libby Glosson. Libby is an ACBC certified biblical counselor, and she's not just interested in giving you coping strategies. No, Libby's desire is to take you to scripture and show you what God actually says about the things that you're actually walking through. And this is the kind of content our gospel partners are making possible. If the content we're producing at Fortis Institute has been meaningful to you, I want to ask you to prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out what it would look like for you to be a part of getting content like The Better Way into the hands of women who need it. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know, you can love the Lord with absolutely everything in you and still go mute when somebody asks you, how do you even know the Bible is true? You feel the answer deep down. You just can't put it into words. The reasons go deeper than most of us were ever even shown. Skeptics know that too. That's why they start in Genesis and then they work backward. Because if you crack the foundation, then everything built on top of it will start to wobble. But when you trace the logic and the morality and the science all the way down, you find the very same thing every single time. Reality only makes sense if the Bible is true. And Dr. Jason Lyle has spent his entire career studying the universe. And in his new series, Irrefutable Proof of Creation, he asks the hard questions about God and turns doubt into confidence. Irrefutable Proof of Creation is streaming right now on Fortis Plus, with new episodes dropping every week. Download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, your smart TV, or you can go to fortisplus.org.
Know your church fathers.
Ignatius of Antioch was a disciple of Peter and John and the Bishop of Antioch. He was arrested and sentenced to die in the Roman arena. As he prepared to go to his death, Ignatius said, "Let fire and cross, flocks of beasts, broken bones, and dismemberment come upon me, so long as I attain to Jesus Christ."
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All right, young lady. All right, I'm curious, the necklace that you have on, what is the symbolism of that?
It's Om.
Om, is that a mantra?
Yes.
And what does that mantra do for you?
It's something that gives me a sense of peace, and it helps me to focus better on what I'm doing.
How does it do that?
It's just a belief that it does it, more than the fact that it actually does it.
Mind over matter?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
You're fooling yourself.
No.
Oh.
It works. As long as it works, it doesn't matter, does it?
But you're still fooling yourself.
No.
Just because the end result works doesn't mean you're not fooling yourself.
I don't know. I cannot say that whether I'm fooling myself or not. I just know that it works.
So it's true.
For me, it's true, yes.
But it wouldn't be true for me if it doesn't work.
In my opinion, you have to believe it is true for it to be true.
But what if it's not true?
If you believe it's true, it will be true. The idea is that no one in this world is right.
Okay, I want to share with you.
As right as you believe yourself to.
No. All right, I'm going to try one on you. All right, and I'm going to see if I can convince you of something that I think is right. All right, you said before you were trying to figure out, or at least thinking about the whole idea of God and religion, and you're a bit of a backslidden Hindu, correct? Mm-hmm. All right. I happen to be a Christian. Are you familiar with Christianity? All right. Do you know who Jesus Christ is?
Yes.
Jesus said this. He said, "I am the way," definite article, "the truth, and the life. No other gods are true. All other gods are false. I'm the only one that exists. Everything else is idle and vain imagination." That is a pretty severe statement, yes?
Yes.
That's contrary to what you're saying. Now, let's see if what he's saying is true or not, okay? Because I would guess right now if I said, "Do you think Jesus Christ is the only God?" You would say?
No.
No. But I say that he is. So one of us is right or wrong. Doesn't matter how much I believe it. I'm either right or wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what Jesus Christ did and why? Do you have any idea?
Not too much.
All right. Basically, the story is this, that God created the world because he wanted to demonstrate something. He wanted to show his loving kindness and his mercy and his goodness. So he created people, us, knowing that we'd break his laws. And his laws basically are moral perfection. One of the ways that we know the character and the nature of God is through the Ten Commandments. Are you familiar with the Ten Commandments?
I have heard about it, but I don't know it in detail.
The Ten Commandments, pretty universal. Things like lying, stealing, adultery, blasphemy, adultery, dishonoring your parents, murder. Things I think that we'd consider to be pretty universal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So a good way to understand what God was all about is to look at the Ten Commandments and to see, how do I do, if God is right and true, and his laws are the Ten Commandments, how would I do if I were judged by the Ten Commandments? So I'm going to ask that of you. For instance, lying is a violation of his laws. Have you told lies in your life?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever stolen anything?
No.
No. Have you ever dishonored your parents by not doing what you were told?
No.
When you told a lie, though, that would be dishonoring to your parents because their daughter told a lie.
Okay.
You dishonored their name. Their name is precious. People have an impression of them through their name, and you dishonor them and their name by not being a perfect child.
Okay?
Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
No.
Jesus said something that's really penetrating. He said, if you just look at another human being with lust, with sexual desire, you've committed adultery in your heart, because God goes beyond what you do, it's what you think. So I'll leave that one between you and God, if you've ever looked with lust, okay? The Bible goes even further and says, if you've ever just been angry at somebody, you thought they were an idiot, a terrible driver, a moron, they're waiting in line and they're holding you up, and you just are mad at them, maybe a racist thought that you've had a lower opinion of somebody because of their skin color, any of those things, God says he sees as murder of the heart. And if he judged us and he opened up the books and he knew every thought, word, and deed, I presume you, like the rest of us, would be guilty before God.
Yes.
Right? So if God is righteous and holy and good and perfect, and we're lawbreakers, and we haven't thanked him for our food, we haven't thanked him for the air that he's provided, our education, what should God do with us? Reward us and take us to heaven, or punish us by sending us to a bad place called hell? What should a holy God do?
I think he should teach us.
Okay, well, if the lesson's over, the criminals have been brought before the bench of the judge. The judge, the time for learning is over. You've had your time. You've had your 20 years, your 50 years, your 70 years. You've broken the laws. You're guilty. What should a just judge do with guilty criminals?
I don't think putting anyone in hell is the solution.
It may not be the solution, but it would be the right thing to do to satisfy justice.
It may be the right thing to do to satisfy justice, but I think justice, in the end, as far as a holy God is, from the perspective of a holy God, is to make somebody realize and change, which is probably what the entire intention of life or the decision...
Perhaps in life, but here's the scenario. If it's true, God says it is appointed for us to die one time. We get one life, we die, we get judged. That's the day of judgment, the day of reckoning. Lessons are over. There's no time for change. He finds us guilty. If he is good because he hates evil, I mean, we don't like to hear about women getting raped and abused and children being beaten up, people being murdered. We like the idea that justice comes in and does what is right and punishes the lawbreaker. And that's what God must do with us. He must punish us if he is good and loving, because love means he hates sin. Now, if that's the case, we are all in very big trouble, because nobody can say, I don't have lying lips, I don't have lustful desires, I've never been pure of heart. We are all in big trouble, and that's the human dilemma. We are innately bad, not good, and God, if he gives us what we deserve, we are in big trouble. But do you remember what I said in the beginning? I said God created the world to do what? Do you remember what I said?
Yeah.
What?
To essentially, let's see how you put it. Because to say that this is what is bad. I mean, essentially we were all bad. We were all...
But to show off his goodness.
Yeah.
He wants to demonstrate his kindness.
Yeah.
Now, how did he do that? That's the question. We believe that God, in his goodness, instead of giving us what we deserved in his forbearance and in his kindness, he sent his son, whose name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is fully God. He became a human being, and he was beaten by men, spat upon, had his beard pulled out of his face, was hit in the head with sticks, punched in the face, so disfigured you couldn't even tell he was a human being, hung on a cross where he gasped for air until he died. And the Bible says that God bruised his only son so that your sins could be forgiven. You've broken God's laws, but Jesus, in his goodness, paid your fine to satisfy the wrath of the Father so that all of your sins can not only be forgiven, but that you can be seen as good before a holy God. That's the Christian gospel. The bad news is we deserve a bad thing. The good news is God will save us and deliver us and take us to heaven based on what Jesus Christ did, so that for all of eternity, all of creation will look at God and say, he is an amazingly kind and good God. He should give us hell, but instead he suffered hell for us, if you will, so that we could be taken to heaven. That's the good news of the gospel. Now, the Bible says, if that's true, what you need to do is repent. Have you ever heard that term before? What does it mean?
You need to atone for your sins?
Nope. Can't do that. Jesus atoned for your sins. To repent means to agree with God. I'm not good. I'm bad. I've sinned. I've done wrong. I've offended you in thought, word, and deed. And I'm sorry. And you turn from your sins, and you put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ as the only true God. And then God will forgive all of your sins and grant you everlasting life. But you must repent and put your trust in him. And the reason that that makes so much sense, and that he either must be the truth or he's a liar. You should figure out if this is true or not. Because if it's true and you died in your sins, you'd go to hell. But God is good, and this day you've heard the good news of the gospel, and he commands you to repent and put your trust in his Son, and he will adopt you as his child, and all of your sins, your guilty conscience, wiped away, and you'll be seen as righteous because of what Jesus did by living a perfect life that you and I couldn't live. So could I simply encourage you today? You're on campus here, and you're trying to figure out big things and where you're going in life, and you confessed that you're a bit of a backslidden Hindu. Try to figure out if the Christian gospel is true or not. Because if it's true, you could become God's child.
I can tell you with reasonable confidence that this is pretty much what is said in the Hindu gospel as well as any other religion.
Here's what Jesus offers that perhaps those other religions or gods don't. A payment for your sins. He died for you in your place. He took the wrath that you deserve so that justice could be satisfied and God could show his kindness. Jesus did this for you. It's either true or it's false. And it doesn't matter what I think about it. It either is true or it isn't. Okay? You are a lady. Thank you very much for your time. Thanks for the chat. That is not what the other religions teach. But even so, we'll continue at Georgia Tech on Witness Wednesday at Wretched Radio.